This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
I was just told, as I was getting ready to say, ask who it was, I looked at Jason and Jason went, "You have no idea."
Sam, you don't even have a guess, do you?
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.90 Game, with Mr. Longshore.
I do
on
want
here.
Your guess.
No, I don't. I don't. And
if,
I,
if you had to pick who you think that is, what band are you going to go with?
The Cranberries. I don't know.
That's a female singer.
Thank you. That's why I know. That's why I just said that.
That was a
very high pitched voice I heard there.
That's Gaz Coombs. It's his birthday today. Oh, Show some respect.
Happy birthday to him. Y'all ain't making me feel bad. I said I don't know. Like I did. And
is Gaz the most English name for a singer you could find? Gaz.
Other than Nigel, yes. Well, I would say that was the next one.
Gaz Coombs is the singer for Supergrass.
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 And are they still performing, or is this a band from another decade?
I think they're still performing, 90s.
Okay. Right.
I saw them at a Lollapalooza, I think it was 96, at Lakewood.
Okay.
They were kind of in the middle of the tier. They didn't really hit as big in the U.S., but that song was massive.
This is another reason why I love having you come on here, because this don't happen with Sam. You get those other musical interests of mine sort of percolating.
Mm-hmm.
So now this last hour, we're going to hear some eclectic music. You come with that stuff you like. And I know that we do this before because, you know, we like to say, and I can mention the old stations, you know, there was one of us here who was on the 96 Rock side, then it was another one of us here that was on the 99X side, okay? And we love having those conversations and musical interludes
when
we work together, so... There you go.
I've got another one for you to play off.
I got one from too. So we're just listening.
No, I got something different, not music, based off of your casting call that we'll talk about here in a second.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, this is Jason Longshore. He is in for Mr. Crenshaw. Like I said, he will be back tomorrow. It is the top of the hour, so I got to go. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning to all you first responders, teachers, and everybody that does things for others out in Villarica.
Villarica.
Yeah.
I've called soccer games in Villarica.
I've played golf in Villarica.
Very nice.
With Chief Brandon, who, by the way, got to get out there and see him, man. We've been playing phone tag and all that sort of stuff.
It's been a good soccer program over the years at Villarica High School.
Can I ask a question here?
Sure.
And I'm probably going to get some heat for it.
Here we go.
Well, because we know that it wasn't, you know, the traditional marriage anyway, but is it – too soon to talk about the world's most eligible bachelorette?
Is it too soon?
You know who I'm talking about?
No.
The world's most eligible bachelorette right now? Dolly Parton. And I say the world's very confidently.
Yeah.
The world's most famous bachelorette is Dolly Parton, but I don't know if it's too soon.
It's too soon.
Okay.
It's too soon.
Let's move on then.
Yes.
But you would say that when it's not too soon, that she's there. Other than somebody part of a monarchy, that she is it.
Yeah, it's too soon, though.
Okay. So then, I was just, even more than Bill Gates' ex? Who's now single, too?
No, not the same thing.
Okay. All right. Just curious. Yeah, you're absolutely right when you think about it. Listen, coming up, we're going to talk some college basketball with Tim Scarborough. But, Mr. Longshore, when it comes to Atlanta United, we just sit back and get a cup of coffee and listen to your velvet tones to let us know what we need to know about this team. You can start off with the matchup today against the Red Bulls or just this season as it is.
I have to start with another soccer element because it goes back to part of your casting call.
Okay.
You talked about looking for a coach. Now, specifically a high school coach. And it's kind of like, well, what does a coach look like? Well, have you ever seen a coach in a big game or match wear a tuxedo while they're coaching?
We were talking about this last week. No, I have not.
Okay. That happened this week.
What?
In Ecuador. And legendary player Segundo Alejandro Castillo played for the Ecuadorian national team. Segundo Alejandro Castillo.
Okay.
So when you translate that, it is Sir Second Castle. Or Sir Second Alexander Castle. The Sir has been added because the man wore a tuxedo on the touchline for his team Barcelona, not in Spain, in Ecuador. They beat a Brazilian team 3-0. So this has made the rounds all over the world, especially in Brazil. Didn't just go black tux. You know, one thing, you wear the black tux, right? And you look dapper, and people were calling him James Bond. He went black tux pants, white jacket.
That's Sean Connery. James
with
Bond.
The black trim.
Oh, yeah.
The black bow tie and the vest, maybe like a slightly off-white.
Okay.
On the touchline, coaching his team in that. Whew. It's bad enough if you get whooped on the road like the Brazilian team did in this game. You got beat 3-0.
Okay.
That's bad. But when you look over at the coach dressed like he's ready for the dinner party while whooping you, that's a bad day at the office for that Brazilian team, Corinthians.
So the guy won while wearing what he was wearing, correct?
Yes.
And was there some sort of, hang on a second.
Give you a look at what he was rocking.
It went away.
Oh, okay.
It went away. But I kind of
I'll show you in a bit. You can look it up. His name is Segundo Alejandro Castillo, but his Instagram is Sir Second Castle, the English translation,
which is
very funny. Absolute style. I don't think Ronnie Dyla is going to rock a tux tonight. Okay. That would be awesome if he did, because the Red Bulls are a bit of a rival for Atlanta United. If he wanted to rock the tux, I would fully support it.
While that's the extreme one way, have you seen somebody walk out there as a coach and you wonder, why is he wearing that, or gone the other way where it's more of a negative?
You get the more of just wearing like the tracksuit, the warm-up suit kind of deal, not really putting a whole lot of effort into it. I like the coaches who go for a little bit of style on the touchline.
Sam wondered last week if we were going to ever see coaches in suits again on the sidelines for basketball mainly. And I thought, not until Nike or Under Armour or one of them start sponsoring and start making suits.
You got to tell Sam about Segundo Alejandro Castillo.
All right.
Because this wasn't the first time that he's rocked the style on the touchline, but the first time in this tuxedo, and he was killing it. Right. So let's get into the game tonight. Ronnie Dyla, again, not going to wear a tuxedo tonight. That would still be amazing, but he's not going to do it. We did get a chance to talk to Ronnie Dyla this week. I've got a couple clips for you from our conversations from media getting ready for this Red Bulls game tonight, and let's go with clip number one.
I think that's important, you know, especially when we have to play Luis there. That's, you know, it's more as a center back. And then also have options, you know, because we don't have a lot of injuries, but all our injuries have been on the sides in the fullbacks area. So that's, of course, will give more width in the squad also. They also often get more tired because they run more. Same with the wingers. So to have doubled up in these two positions is key, of course, to keep attacking and keep having good width in our game.
It's a huge talking point because you get Pedro Amador back from injury tonight. Brooks Lennon still a week away, it looks like. You've been okay without them, but those are two starters that, in addition to being on the back line at fullback and getting up and down the wing, they're going to make the attack better as well. They're going to give you more width. You've missed them. You get Amador back for the first time this season. Hopefully Lennon back next week for the first time since the first playoff game in Miami last year where he injured the shoulder. Both trained this week. Both looked really good in the full session on Tuesday. So that will be one element tonight. Now, how long can Pedro Amador play in his first game of the year? Don't know yet. but he's been fully participating. I don't believe he had any setbacks this week. That would make you think that he can start and maybe get pretty deep into the match. So that's a really good step from Amador. We talked to Ronnie Dyla a little bit more, and here's what he had to say. I thought we had another clip. Maybe we don't have another
clip. Very good.
There we go.
You know, it's, I said all the time, a fantastic group. So very, very good players also. So, and they are know what's happening. And we are not the only team that's going to lose in Charlotte, I'm sure. There's a good football team. And we know also that when we are doing things right, we keep making trouble for opponents. So it's a lot of confidence in seeing that we can actually, the two first half, you can say that the second half is not good, but at the same time we show what we are capable to do when we are good. So we just need to have longer periods with that kind of performances.
That was talking about the loss last week in Charlotte and kind of where he feels this group is. He's been very consistent, Ronnie Dyla, the new manager for Atlanta United, about being happy with the group of players that he has. They're taking on everything that he wants them to do. He's changed the way that they work a little bit in terms of fitness being, I don't want to say more important because it was always important, but maybe in a different way, the level of intensity, especially off the ball, more consistently pressing high, trying to win the ball back high up the field. Those are things that will wear you out more if you're not as used to it. But so he's focused a lot on fitness. I think they're taking that on. They're taking on the way that he wants to play, but they've got to find ways to be more consistent. They've had very good first halves, not as good second halves. That's something that's got to change.
This is my question, and it comes at an elementary level. But
no.
I know coaches across the board do this, but this particular coach, Atlanta United, has. Mm-hmm. Does he coach to bring the players along to his scheme, or does he acquiesce the way he coaches to the players that he has?
Good question. It's a little of both. I think more to he has a vision for the way he wants to play. I think in soccer, we have this conversation more, and this isn't something we do much in American sports. You know, when you think of the Lakers and the Celtics, like we were talking earlier, you think of the stars that they had. When you think Lakers basketball, you think Showtime because of stars. You don't think of they played like this. They did these schemes. They played a certain way. You don't really think of that as much. We don't think of that in our other sports. Teams don't have identities in the way that they play. I think in soccer, we have a lot of that. And Ronnie Dyla is a guy who, you look at his teams that he's coached around the world, they have some common threads, but he's not super rigid with it. He will allow some adaptation based off what he has to work with, which is the sign of a good coach, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know how you want to play, but if I have these players, well, I can do this that I couldn't do with my last team. Can't really do that, so I'm going to have to dial that back a little bit. You adjust a little bit, but it looks like a Ronnie Dyla team. You're two games in, so you're still getting there, I think, in general, of how this team will look. But he is allowing, one thing that's jumped out to me is Miguel Almiron is in a super free role, even though he's the right wing in terms of the way they start when they kick off. He's floating inside. He's floating over to the left side. He's going to find the game, and he makes the attack better for doing that. So you have to adapt to that and make sure you're covered defensively when the ball turns over.
See, if we had more time, I would push back on a couple things. And again, this is just me because you brought in the other sports. I would say that there is a pattern that you find as far as, let's say, basketball. Traditionally, the Western conferences played more open court basketball. It was more of you didn't play as much defense.
I'm talking like very tactical in terms of an identity.
All right. So taking that and bringing it to more of a fine tune, because we see this in football too. Mm-hmm. There are teams who run the ball more than throw because of where their location is.
Sure.
Those teams in the AFC, the Pittsburghs, the Baltimores, the Clevelands. So I guess what I'm asking is, we know that there's teams that play indoor like Atlanta United. There's teams that play outdoor. We talked about Columbus. We talked to you when the weather was crazy.
Yeah.
So in other words, do they go after players? And we're going to have to do this
maybe a little bit
at the end.
Not in this league. It's more about the coach and the way and the club, because certain clubs have identities and playing a certain way. And that's a worldwide thing. Columbus has that. Atlanta has that. But Ronnie Dyla's tweaking a few things. It's interesting to see how this looks like an Atlanta United team, but it's just a little different in some specific ways. We're going to see that continue to bloom tonight.
You need to pat yourself on the back, because of you, mm-hmm. I actually want to continue talking soccer into the next segment. Well, we can't because we got Tim Scarborough coming. We're going to talk college basketball. But you know what it was like when we first started talking soccer. I couldn't wait to get out of that segment. Mm. Now you've got me, you know, interested in ways that I it just sort of happened. I don't know what the line of delineation was, but it has happened, and it's all your fault. So I want to thank you, sir.
You're going to have to come to some games this year.
Yeah, that'll be next. That'll be next. Okay. I got to get some tickets and a parking pass.
We can probably find a way.
It is Sam and Greg. That's Jason Longshore sitting in for Mr. Crenshaw, who will be back tomorrow. Tim Scarborough joining next. Talk some college basketball. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ought to feel fortunate, my man. Noel has bestowed this song upon you. Sam and Greg with Jason Longshore in for Mr. Crenshaw. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Saturday morning, March the 8th. We welcome Tim Scarborough joining us, who is, like the song, he's on the road, he's keeping on trucking, he's bopping around, and he's from this era. So he can enjoy this because you know what, Jason? He old too.
Oh, shots fired early in the morning. I love it.
Anyway, Tim, I want to thank you. We got Jason Longshore in for Sam. He's down there in Macon hanging out for the high school tournament, so he will be back with us tomorrow. But you got a guy who knows Georgia basketball, who's ready to test your knowledge. But we say good morning to you, and hopefully you've had a good week. And where are you at, too? Yeah, you're in Central Time Zone. Where are you at?
It's been fun. Yeah, I am in, a place called Itabena, Mississippi. And for some reason, we decided to show the Delta Devils of Mississippi Valley State, despite the fact that they have won four games in the last 2 years. So, yeah. But they're playing a really good Jackson State team led by Mo Williams, former NBA player, former LeBron James teammate, NBA champion. That's where we are. So I normally do two games. I do a women's game as a reporter, and then I join Charlie Neal as the analyst for the men's game. But today, since it's National Women's Month, we have all female broadcast for the women's game. So I'll get to sit that one out, and then I'll do the men's game as usual.
That's awesome. I want to pick your brain a little bit about UGA in this situation where Mike White has had some time to grow this program. I went to UGA. I was there during the 2 years of Tubby Smith and then, unfortunately, the Ron Jersa aftermath. It's exciting to see Georgia basketball where it is right now with wins that are capturing the energy of everything. This is a team that should get into the NCAA tournament. How do you feel Mike White's done in rebuilding this program?
So Georgia, as you know, it's been a tough job the last couple of decades, really, because you think about what Tom Crean, I would have thought Tom Crean would have been able to get the job done. Tom was at Marquette and got them to the Final Four with Dwayne Wade and Travis Diener, good friend of mine. And those guys kind of built his reputation for being able to do well. He went in the TV, took the Georgia job, and he recruited the state well. He got Anthony Edwards. I thought that was going to be the beginning of a long line of really good Georgia basketball that just didn't work out. Having said that, I think Mike White is the right hire. And it's interesting that he would leave Florida and how well Florida's doing now. But, I feel like he's happier in Georgia, and I think he can get it done. I do believe they are NCAA tournament team. Having that win last week versus Texas was huge, because going into that game, Georgia was one of the last four out, and Texas was the final four in, right. And then that kind of inverted itself. And Georgia, I think they're firmly in, to be honest, based on what I'm seeing from the analytics.
Well, Tim Scarborough again joined in Sam and Greg with Jason Longshore, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Let's stay in the SEC for a minute, because when you talk about those top five teams, three of them are from the SEC. One, if you weren't listening earlier, which you weren't, Jason Longshore would like to just go and do something nasty to those folks up in Tennessee, at least when he was in college.
Not a fan.
But they sit there at number four right now. But Auburn's still top of the heap, and your thoughts on not just where Auburn is and these SEC teams, but are people just sort of, you know, looking at Duke going, well, you know, they are Duke, but maybe this isn't the year. What's the conversation amongst your folks that you bumped into and talking about these top teams?
So the SEC is interesting. So this is going to be the perception. Next week is eight days from now, Selection Sunday, and they're going to select 12 SEC teams. But guess what? A lot of them will lose that first weekend, because everybody loses the first weekend. 48 teams are going to lose that first weekend. And the perception will be, oh, the SEC didn't deserve those teams. But that's just not the case. They do deserve those teams. When you think about, they have 7-8 teams ranked in the top 25. That is just extraordinary. And then I believe they have three teams. I don't believe Tennessee is good enough to win it all. So I know Jason would love that.
I'm very happy about that statement.
I had to throw a little shade at Tennessee for a man. But Auburn, Florida, and Alabama
yeah.
certainly are all mm-hmm. capable of getting to the Final Four and probably winning it. If you're asking me, am I going to take the field or am I going to take an SEC team? With that Duke team being out there, and honestly, this might surprise you, but I think Tom Izzo might get that team to the Final Four.
I was just going to ask you that, because they just, you know, this week they passed Michigan. They were going back and forth, but this guy now is atop the Big Ten. But what is said about Tom Izzo when it comes to the – I mean, is he one of the top five coaches? If you got to win a game for your life and all of that sort of stuff, and you pick the top five college coaches, is Tom Izzo there? Because you hear the conversation about top coaches, and his name is included, but I don't know that he's the guy that people gravitate toward if they got to win that one game, despite the one championship and him always being relevant after all these years.
See, so my perspective is a little different. I do think I would take Tom Izzo in that one-and-done game, because almost every big game, his team is not the most talented team. Kansas, they've had loaded teams. Bill Self is a great coach, but his teams have been full of NBA guys. Dean Smith, Roy Williams, I mean, North Carolina, you know, you could name the top seven guys on their team, and six of them are going to make the NBA in a given year, not this year. But, and of course, Roy's not there anymore. But there's been other legendary coaches. I think Jim Calhoun has won championships with lesser talent than the team. So, but to me, Jim Calhoun and Tom Izzo are two of the coaches that I would take in a one-and-done scenario. Now, if you're asking me who I want to build a program and get there, then it might be something different, because, you know, Coach Krzyzewski, Coach K, and guys like that have been able to attract the championship-level players. And by the way, Josh Shire needs to get his flowers, because what he's done at Duke right now, following a legend, we all know how tough that is. And to be able to get this team back to where Coach K had it is just extraordinary to me.
Tim Scarborough joining Sam and Greg, Jason Longshore, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. All right, listen, we got to take a left turn here. You're talking about giving out flowers, and like it or not, there's somebody who, by the way, I might have to throw into that category as far as that one win I need, because he's back. Say what you will, Rick Pitino is relevant again.
Oh, is he? Wow. Rick Pitino, what a job. Second year at St. John's, and St. John's basketball hasn't been relevant since Lou Carter II, right? I mean,
right.
There's been a few St. John's teams. You think of what's my man, Meta World Peace, when he was in college. He played at St. John's. And they've had a few, you know, Mike Jarvis got that team into the tournament a couple of times.
Oh, the gym
but
rat.
They haven't been playing.
The original gym
rat. Yeah.
Chris Mullin. Chris Mullin.
Yep.
Yeah. So, Chris Mullin had the position. So, But yeah, Patino, everybody knows the guy can coach. He has some scandals and things like that. But in the end, at the end of the day, Coach Patino is one of the best ever. Took a team, Providence, to the Final Four, Kentucky to the Final Four. I mean, you know, if he takes this St. John's team to the Final Four, I believe he'd be the first person to do it four times. So four different teams. So
when you talk about building, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tim.
I'm not saying St. John's is going to the Final Four. They might. You never know. I mean, North Carolina State went there last year, so you never know. But yeah, what a job he's done.
It's not even the coaching job, which we know he can coach, as you said. It's the recruiting. It's families saying, okay, we don't mind sending our kid to hang out with Rick Pitino for X amount of years, even if it's maybe just one and out. But I'm just saying that was the thing I thought was the dark cloud over him. While we knew he could still coach, it was who wants to send their kid to a program where he's at, given what – I think that what do they call it when so many years have passed – and you can't get arrested for that crime. Statute of limitations have been implemented by Rick Pitino, right?
In more ways than one, maybe.
Right. That's funny. That's good stuff.
I just think this year he deserves. You know, people need to put their whatever their issues with him aside. If we're talking strictly basketball and what he's done, that could be one of the stories of this college basketball season.
There's no question about it. And when you think about the legendary coaches that have left the game recently, you know, Jay Wright's gone, Coach K's gone, Roy Williams, Jim Calhoun, Jim Boeheim, Bob Huggins for a different reason is gone, you know. But the legendary coaches that remain, it's just a handful of them now. It's Bill Self, it's Tom Izzo. We talked about them here, Rick Pitino. And then you start thinking about after that, you know, some younger coaches that are building that legacy, Bruce Pearl, Kelvin Sampson, Mark Few, but I don't think they're in that same tier as the Izzos and the Selves and the Pitinos. Pitino is up there with those guys, having won national championships. And again, the job he's doing at St. John's is just extraordinary.
I'd love to get your perspective on this. As I've been thinking about the SEC's rise this year and you know, all the expanded conferences. We didn't have this conversation as much on the football side because you're playing one game a week. But has the expanded travel of the ACC and the Big Ten, has it made it a little more difficult on the basketball side for teams to be consistent because you're flying across the country?
I think the travel and the whole geography of conference alignment is out of control.
I agree.
It's dumb. I like the fact that the SEC, although they did pick up some teams, geographically speaking, it's still basically southeast, southwest.
Yeah, it made sense.
The ACC is the East Coast. It's the West Coast. It's the Northeast. It's the Southeast. It's the middle of the country for some people. It's Texas. Come on. What are we doing? And the Big Ten is worse. So it just speaks of the fact that money is more important than almost anything. It supersedes everything. So, I hate that. I'm glad that the SEC, I think you do have a point that, some of that travel is a wear and tear. But also, I just think there's too many teams in these conferences. If you think about what the SEC, I heard this morning that the tier one games, the quad one games, their SEC teams that have played 10 straight quad one games, 12 straight quad one games. Mm-hmm. They're going to get to the NCAA tournament, and this will be the first time that they play a team that's not a quad one team. So, you know, it speaks well for the SEC and what they've done. You think about the fact that Kentucky, which is a blue blood, is a middle-of-the-pack team in that conference. Mm-hmm. Now, I know, Jason, you might think that the SEC, in the way it's stated today, might be the best conference ever, but I'm going to give it a few years before I label it that. I still think the 80s, 90s Big East the 80s, 90s, the 2000s ACC both supersede that conference. But we'll see. If they can maintain this level with, you know, you get 8, 9 top 25 teams, and you do that over a period of time, you have to start putting them in that conversation.
Now, the Big East of the 80s, I'm with you.
Tim Scarborough, you travel safely, buddy. We're going to reach out to you next week, but thank you as always for getting up and joining us, man.
Yes, sir. It's almost that time, right? NCAA tournament right around the corner, fellas.
Yep. A lot. And it's 9:35 where he's at. So
he's got an extra hour.
He's got an extra hour. That's right. Hey, you got to spring back tonight. Remember that.
Yeah, I lose it.
Or spring ahead.
Spring
me
forward.
Not spring back. Spring forward.
Don't listen to Greg. Don't get in trouble.
I ain't got no. Everybody knows I'm an idiot. They don't really pay no attention to that. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Thanks, Tim.
All right. Thanks a lot, man.
Going to wrap things up and turn things over to John Fricke here. Coming up, want to thank Jason and Ken, as always, for getting in here and sitting in for whether I'm out or Sam's out. And, of course, the job Noel has done. So we are going to wrap things up next. We got some stuff we haven't talked about yet. That is coming up. Sam and Greg with Jason, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is hard to do when you only got one side of your glasses working. This arm here. Uh-oh. Who we got?
You know who this is.
I know who this is, but I'm saying this hour was going to be, and I never got the song I wanted to play for you, but.
Sorry. I apologize.
So, no. I'm happy. I'm happy.
I didn't pick this one. This is all Noel again.
And she is favoring us with?
You too.
There you go.
One of the best concerts I've ever seen.
See, I thought there was a story behind it. That's
no,
why I was
no,
giving
no,
you
I didn't
the
pick
floor.
It. No.
I remember you had something else you said to the film industry that you were playing the music for, and I thought that was going to happen.
No, we do have a soccer music crossover that we're going to finish with, though.
Oh, we are?
Yes.
Okay.
We're going to have a conversation, and then we're going to have to get Noel in on this as well.
Okay. This has been very bone-like this morning.
It's been all over the place.
It has been, and that's what makes this fun. On this morning where we say hello and happy birthday to people like Lester Holt. Happy birthday to
Lester. Happy birthday, Lester.
Who's about to make a little pivot in his career.
Yeah.
But he'll still, be with NBC. Benny Blanco. Happy 37th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
He's with, forgot what actress. Is it, Noella will. No, but I'll keep up with that stuff. also, part of the 85 Bears. The strong safety for the 85 Bears was a dude named Sean Gale.
Sean Gale.
And Sean Gale's birthday today. So there you go. Do you see the movie Fargo?
No.
You never saw that movie?
I did not.
Great movie. Dark.
I've heard, lots of
really,
good things.
Really, really good. It was released today. Also.
What year did that come out?
It came out in 96.
Okay.
Frances McDormand won, I think she's best actress.
Yeah.
I mean, when you say it out loud, okay, we're going to cast this character. First of all, the sheriff is going to be a woman, and she's pregnant, and she solves this crime. That's Coen Brothers. Right down the street, around the corner, I did the casting call there for nearly a decade, but we all know and love Fox 5.
Mm-hmm.
They began broadcasting on this day, according to this site.
As Fox 5?
As WAGA.
As just WAGA.
WAGA, okay. Which we now know as Fox 5, began broadcasting, according to this site, on this day in 1949.
Before they were Fox.
They were CBS.
They were CBS. This okay, I couldn't remember.
This was a CBS station then. So
okay. Yeah. I couldn't remember how everything shifted when Fox came into to play.
Hmm. Yeah. They did mess some stuff up.
A little bit.
You know who I was surprised when we gave that list of broadcasters out, speaking of Fox?
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised that there were two names that weren't on that of the richest broadcasters. I think
the highest paid?
Yeah, highest paid. Joe Buck was the last one on that list. I think they did the top nine. But
yeah.
I was surprised Kirk Herbstreit wasn't on that list.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
And I also surprised Al Michaels wasn't on that list. He got a bunch of, both of them dudes got a bunch of money. Was it from Amazon?
Yeah.
For that Thursday night game? I just was surprised.
Yeah, Kirk actually not being on there is very surprising because he does a lot of stuff.
He got, we ain't never going to have a telethon for the Herbstreit fan.
No, I think he's going to be okay.
Not at all. All right, what have we not gotten to before we get on out of here?
And we have a very important topic that we all have to discuss.
Noel, are you available to join us? We've been told by our fifth Beatle here that you have to be ready to go. Okay, here
this,
she goes.
This is something that the soccer community internationally is tearing itself up about. For the first time ever, the World Cup final next summer, which is going to be in New Jersey, MetLife Stadium, will have a halftime show. There has never been a halftime show at a World Cup final. So this is bigger than the Super Bowl. It's only every 4 years. It's global.
Right.
You're talking about a game. The Super Bowl attendance-wise or viewership-wise is what, 150 million or so?
Yeah, somewhere in that ballpark.
Really high? A billion worldwide
you're
for
talking,
the World Cup final.
This is the equivalent of being that singer in the opening act of the Olympics. Opening ceremonies,
bigger,
if you will.
Yeah.
Bigger than that. This is the biggest sporting event in the world, period. No
okay.
debate, no nothing.
I'm not
billion
talking about the event,
people.
but a part billion. Of it. There's one thing that I think could possibly be.
There's nothing. There's nothing.
I was just going to say the lighting of the torch at the Olympics.
No.
That's always very special.
More viewers for the World Cup final
all
than
right,
that.
All right, okay.
So the first time ever.
Yeah.
And Coldplay is going to be involved in helping pick the artists.
Okay.
You got to think international. Now,
okay, I got you.
That's part of this conversation. Like, people we would think of for a Super Bowl halftime, some will apply, some might not. Noel.
I know
who yours is, and I agree with you. Noel, when we talk World Cup final halftime show.
Is there one performer, or will there be multiple?
There's going to be multiple.
Okay, so how long is the halftime for?
Well, there's no way they can do this in 15 minutes. Like, right, it's 15 minutes. They do a longer Super Bowl halftime.
Right.
For me, logistically, I would do it off-site and, like, not have to bring something out on the field and have to deal with any of that. I would do it off-site, pipe it in, figure out a way. I don't know what they're going to do. But beyond the logistics, because that's going to be a nightmare, who would be the first person you would call if you were booking a World Cup final halftime performance?
Noel? Bad Bunny.
On my list, yes. Bad Bunny.
You said Bad Bunny?
Yep.
Bad Bunny.
That's my first phone
when
call.
You think international, yeah, absolutely.
So you agree with both of us, because you know who I said?
Who?
Pitbull.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. I didn't even hesitate.
I throw Shakira on that list.
Shakira's on my list, too.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. There's one that I don't know.
Well, give me an American who's top of the list.
That's the thing. Like, are you going to, you're not Taylor Swift, I don't think is going to be as big in this spot. I don't know. She's very big worldwide. But
okay, I hate to say this. Who?
Are you going to get Taylor?
No, I'm not asking. But I do not think of one. And she probably would. I don't know. The last couple of years, maybe not. But Jennifer Lopez. Because of the range of her ethnicity,
she's done albums four or eight years ago. Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Now I wouldn't say.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, and the main reason is because people really didn't enjoy that Super Bowl.
Yeah,
no,
like a lot of people felt like it just could have been Shakira herself.
Shakira should have done it herself,
even though J-Lo felt her the other way, so it was really awkward. But
that was publicists at work, because Madonna could have stayed at home too for her halftime show, as far as I was concerned.
Oh, you didn't like the Madonna Nicki Minaj situation?
Because I felt like she felt like she was becoming irrelevant and got her people to push forward, and she got the job, and God bless her.
She did.
But I just wouldn't, you know.
I've been past that one for a while.
It was 15, 20 years before,
yes,
that Madonna I wouldn't mind seeing.
That whole Super Bowl, y'all could have threw in the trash.
Mm.
The Patriots, Giants, the halftime show. Y'all could have Kobe'd all of that straight in the trash can.
I'll give you another one that has been mentioned that I could see doing a World Cup halftime show. Dua Lipa.
Okay.
If you talk internationally, that changes the conversation a little bit. Lady Gaga as well?
That's the other one I was just, I was literally Charlie about XCX. To see her.
Yes.
Charlie XCX. She's kind of new, but like the Brat thing is going huge. Everybody's all about Brat right now. It's going huge. So
the reason I would put Lady Gaga over it, because she's also morphed into the movie industry.
Yeah.
And because of that, she's seen around the world.
Yeah, and it could work right now because we got an album coming out, and she has pulled out that 2010 formula, and it is cooking. It is working.
Yeah.
Now, since they're going to have this being their first, okay, is there somebody who's got some tread on, you know, missing from their tires that you want to maybe reach back and grab?
Here's the thing, too, is you're in Jersey / New York.
Obviously.
So do you bring out a Jay-Z?
No, but you asked Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, and that's the one I keep coming back to. Like, how can you, if you're doing this and it's all kinds of people, Coldplay would love to play with Bruce. Like, that would be cool. They would be excited
about
that.
Anybody want to play with Bruce?
That would look cool. But Bruce and Bad Bunny, how do you make that work?
Oh, they got to be together on the stage,
no,
you're saying?
No, no. I mean, but you have to make a show out of it. Like, you got to have a segue. So, like, how do you get from Bad Bunny to Springsteen?
Now, there's a vision. Hang on a second. Because you said that, I think of Bruce Springsteen coming on stage in a Segway.
he might.
And he get the microphone from Bad Bunny. Now, that's a show. Are we sleeping on Bon Jovi?
Bon Jovi was the other one Jersey-related that
I could see something there. That's about it, though,
for those three.
Another one that we haven't mentioned who is supposedly going to have a new album out by next summer, Rihanna.
Okay, that's international.
Another, and a huge soccer fan.
And it coming out next year makes it even bigger. Oh no, you could, and she has experience with doing a Super Bowl.
I might,
because of that, I don't know that she'd do it.
Might be Rihanna.
Really?
Yeah, my number one pick might be Rihanna for the halftime of the World Cup final.
And you know she has a song with Coldplay.
Exactly. That factors in too.
You guys have been doing some thinking here.
If Coldplay is your producer of the halftime, yeah, you're thinking of people connected potentially, and she'd be a perfect fit.
Well, I just feel bad that we slept on something that we talked about earlier and we can't include her in there. And I can't talk about it now because you told me it was too soon. But talk about an international star. Somebody called Dolly up.
That's not not international.
No, I know that.
It's not the same international level.
Of course not. I know. I'm just trying to give her some love. She's had a week.
I'm with you on that. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if the halftime of the World Cup final would be the spot. Sorry.
Did you see the video of Billy Joel taking a little dump?
I saw that.
Now, he laughed it off there, but still.
I don't think you're going to book him for the halftime of the World Cup final because of that one.
No. And please, can we not have any more Beatles singing? I mean,
oh, it is halftime of the World Cup final, though.
He can't hold it.
I know,
I just don't know.
Do you do it?
And no.
I would agree. I don't think you do. I think you've got enough people. I think you've got, so we have booked Rihanna.
And you don't call Mick either?
No. Actually.
No, you don't call Mick.
No, if you're going to have a rock element to it, you're either calling Bruce or you're calling Bon Jovi.
Right.
You're bringing them into the mix. So we're going to book a halftime Super Bowl extravaganza. Of course, Coldplay will perform in some form or fashion. Rihanna, Pitbull, Bad Bunny, Shakira, and either Bruce or Bon Jovi.
Okay.
And Coldplay.
Okay.
I can work with that, I think.
Yeah, that'll put a drink on a coaster.
I think that works.
All right.
Oh, Lady Gaga, too. We can't leave her out. Come on.
Of course we can.
We got to have a 20-minute halftime.
Jason, you will hear more of this conversation, maybe during the call
not.
Tonight.
Probably
him
not.
And Mike Conti, they're going to, as Atlanta United takes on the Red Bulls. You're going to hear that game down on Star 94. Pre-kick at 6:30, kick at 7:30. But right here, in case you can't get in front of a TV, we got college basketball. Arizona at Kansas, pre-tip at 3:45, tip at 4, and then tonight, Hawks at Indiana. Everything gets going at 7 o'clock, tip at 7:30. Mr. Longshore, have yourself a wonderful rest of your day, and thank you for everything that you do for our show.
I will have a wonderful day if Atlanta United beats the hated New York Red Bulls tonight. Otherwise, okay. It might be not a great day. Not except for this part. This was really good.
All right. Well, I'm glad you had some fun.
This was fun.
Sam called in earlier, and he will be back tomorrow. Noel, as always, you know how we love you. And thank you for everything. John Fricke is up next. For the rest of you, thank you for letting us be a part of your Saturday mornings. It is Sam and Greg with Mr. Longshore, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us with you on the Odyssey app.